Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, a new novel that asks what home and family history and freedom really are. But first, what our NPR Star Tribune poll is revealing about what voters think about the upcoming midterms. The polling company surveyed Minnesota voters about candidates and political perceptions and President Trump. And we hope U of M political scientist Catherine Pearson would spot some patterns in how voters are responding. Her expertise is in Congress. Catherine, welcome. Good to have you on the show.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
And I will ask our listeners here, we're spotting a large number of undecided voters in some of these main races. If you're undecided, what are you looking for as you make a decision on a candidate? So calling out this morning to undecided voters, what are you waiting for? What do you need to know before you make a decision? 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, and on Twitter for undecided voters. Tell me what you're thinking. Catherine, when you see these strong showings in the polls by some DFLers over their Republican opponents, Tim Walz has a pretty decent lead, Tina Smith, Amy Klobuchar, are you seeing evidence of what Democrats hope is materializing as a blue wave, or are you seeing, you know, this is kind of who Minnesota is, and every now and then the politics change, but this is who Minnesota is?
I think, honestly, a little bit of both. There is evidence of Democratic enthusiasm across the country and in Minnesota. We saw that with higher turnout among Democrats in the primary elections, and I think we're seeing that in the poll numbers today. Minnesota has obviously been very consistently blue at the presidential level, but it's important to note that Clinton was only 1.5 percentage points ahead of Trump in 2016 in Minnesota. And so those numbers suggested that statewide elections in Minnesota going forward and in 2018 could be competitive for both parties, especially in open seat races where there's no incumbent on the ballot.
Okay, well then how then do you account for some pretty strong leads among some, not all, some Democratic candidates?
Right. Well, sort of starting with the easiest, Amy Klobuchar, who is an incumbent running for her third term, her numbers are just off the charts, and they're quite consistent with all of her returns. And I think as a result, it's been hard for Jim Neuberger to gain a lot of traction. 76% of voters don't even recognize him. But in terms of the other candidates, I think we are seeing both the fact that Minnesota tilts blue, though not strongly, or tilts Democratic, and the fact that Democrats in Minnesota are more enthusiastic than Republicans are. That's not to say that there aren't some enthusiastic Republicans. There are, and we're seeing that Democrats are overwhelmingly favoring Democratic candidates. Republicans are overwhelmingly favoring Republican candidates. But what we're also seeing is when you break it down and look at independents, the Democratic candidates have the edge. And some of those independents certainly could be Democratic leaners. We don't know, but the advantages that the DFL candidates have, I think, come from the independents.
You and I have talked about this before, that it is very unusual to find a truly, truly independent voter, right? Who doesn't lean one way or the other.
That's
on
right.
Election day. Are those people, when I look at those numbers of President Trump and how independents are really driving kind of a flip from, well, we rolled the dice to give him a chance, but what we're seeing is not what we expected, and many of us independents don't like it. I mean, what does that say to you about party affiliation and how they see the president?
Right. Well, the numbers suggest that 66% of independents disapprove of President Trump's performance compared to 27%. And so that shows, I think, that this midterm elections, as have other midterm elections in the past been, it is a referendum on the president's performance. We know that historically, in all but a couple of elections in the last 100 years, the president's party has lost seats. And when we have a president with low approval ratings, high 30s, low 40s, depending on the poll, I think that portends bad news for Republican candidates who are actually on the ballot. And I think we're seeing that reflected in Minnesota.
Curious about how you assess why there are so many undecided voters. I mean, to be honest, we're still somewhat early in the election season. I know people don't pay attention until after Labor Day. We're only a few weeks, post Labor Day. But what else is contributing to this?
Well, I think also, the bulk of the advertisements and the get out the vote efforts, haven't really geared up yet. But so, for example, in the governor's race, we're seeing that 16% of voters are undecided.
Right.
And so that does suggest that both candidates still have the opportunity to win over these undecided voters. And interestingly, both Waltz and Johnson have sort of equal name recognition, even though they serve in very different positions. And so I think voters, particularly those who don't identify strongly with one of the two parties, are waiting to see what the candidates say going into the election.
Okay, I'll try this one more time. If you're undecided and you're listening to this conversation between me and Catherine Pearson from the University of Minnesota, I'd be interested to know why you remain undecided on a key race. What is it you're waiting to see and learn about the candidate? Do you think you'll remain undecided, right up close to Election Day? Be interested to hear your thoughts on that. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, wherever you are in our five-state region, and then on Twitter, at @CarrieMPR. How about the attorney general race? There's a high undecided there, too, Catherine. And Keith Ellison, a very well-known name in Minnesota politics at this point, has a pretty small lead given his name ID.
Well, that's right. And I think this race is where we're going to see the most volatility, because one of the most interesting statistics here is that in the poll, 20% of those polled did not recognize the name Keith Ellison, and 69% did not recognize the name Doug Wardlow. And so I think this race is really going to hinge on, Wardlow's ability to tell voters who he is, and then voters' decisions about Wardlow. Of course, many factors will influence this election: turnout, people's views of President Trump. That will be a factor in the vote for attorney general as well. But certainly, here is a race where voters are particularly unsure about Ellison because they don't know what to think, or at least many don't know what to think about the allegations. And, coupled with the fact that 69% of voters really don't even know who Doug Wardlow is.
So, in Ellison's case, it may be that as a DFLer, you would naturally lean towards Keith Ellison, but these allegations are raising some questions in your mind. Does he have to address them, do you think? I mean, he's put out statements and then that was kind of it, and he's gone on with the campaign.
Well, that's right. And 57% of those polled have said that they're not sure if they believe her allegation or not.
Yeah.
65% of DFLers, 43% of Republicans, 61% of independents. And so I think this is something that will continue to be a factor in this race. And so I suspect that both candidates will talk about it. What I think we don't know is whether or not any new information will become available.
What are you seeing emerge on the influence of President Trump on Minnesota races?
I'm seeing increased Democratic enthusiasm and independents tilting toward all of the DFL candidates. And I think that is a function of their views on President Trump. Now, it's important to note that this is a poll of registered voters and likely voters. And, of course, registered voters are those who are most likely to turn out in a midterm election. But Minnesota also has same-day registration.
Right.
And so it's very difficult for pollsters to take account of potential new voters, because those who aren't registered are less likely to vote. But mobilization from candidates certainly could affect same-day registration and turnout. And midterm elections are typically about 20% lower than presidential provincial election. So all the candidates, you know, have some room for more mobilization here.
Okay. So given what you just said about independents and President Trump, will candidates, do you think, Republican candidates, be inviting him in to campaign with them? Or is it just best to talk about local issues and tap into the issues that voters, your base as a Republican, care about, and not leverage the power that a president would usually bring to the campaign trail?
Well, that's a complicated question because, of course, President Trump is mobilizing Democrats to turn out and vote against him. But on the other hand, in a midterm election, Republicans definitely need to think about mobilizing the Republican base as well. And so I think if President Trump were to, say, campaign with Karen Housley, given the fact that 40% of those polled don't recognize her name, I think that could be very helpful to her. It wouldn't be helpful in winning over independent voters necessarily, but it would certainly be helpful in improving her name recognition and enthusiasm among Republicans.
Of course, I mean, if she's going to stand side by side with President Trump, she knows that that also raises questions about, well, what do you think about what he specifically says about this? And, you know, what's your view on the fact that he has also confronted sexual misconduct and assault? I mean, it's a can of worms, isn't it?
It is a complicated strategic decision for the candidates on both sides of the aisle, but I think in this election, particularly for Republicans.
Speaking of which, this is a little bit of outside of Minnesota, but I'm curious as to whether you think control of the U.S. Senate is intersecting somehow with what's going on with Brett Kavanaugh and these latest allegations against him and the way that Republicans are managing it on Capitol Hill.
Yes. The Republicans control the Senate by two seats right now, and Democrats have an extremely narrow path to a Senate majority. Of the 35 seats that are open, 20 or that are up for re-election, 26 are held by Democrats, and Democrats are defending 10 Senate seats in states that were won by President Trump. So for Democrats to take over, they would need to win every single competitive Democratic race, a seat, plus two Republican races, two Republican seats. And so it is complicated, and I think that the Supreme Court nominations have the potential to mobilize voters in both parties. Certainly, the Supreme Court, the opportunity to nominate justices to the Supreme Court was influential in support for President Trump among Republicans. And it has the potential to be for Democrats as well, except the complicating factor is many of these Democrats are running in Republican-leaning states who may favor Kavanaugh's appointment to the U.S. Senate. So once again, we have a complicated calculation coupled with the fact that November 6th is getting closer. And if majority party control does change, that affects the votes on confirmation as well.
Although I will say this, I wonder if these allegations against Kavanaugh have given some amount of political cover to red state Democrats who even so, I mean, Claire McCaskill, a good example, who are in really tight races, and Joe Manchin, West Virginia,
right,
who normally would have felt pressure, maybe not McCaskill, but Manchin, to vote for a Republican nominee. And now these latest allegations allow them to say, I just can't support this.
Yes, I think that's definitely right in the case of these senators. With their constituents, but again, how this translates to Republicans in those states as to what they're thinking about in their next senator and the Supreme Court in future vacancies, I think, is an open question.
Okay, one last question here about what I call the double flip, which is Minnesota has this situation where we may flip two seats and we may flip another two seats.
Yes.
And that's pretty important given who's going to control the House. How do you see this shaping up?
This is, most
states fascinating,
are
isn't it?
Leaning in heavily in one direction or the other when it comes to their House races. But Democrats would need to pick up 23 seats out of 435 to take control of the U.S. House. And of Minnesota's eight House seats, four are extremely competitive, two currently held by Democrats and two currently held by Republicans. And it is certainly possible that Minnesota's numbers could stay the same, but to The second and the third district could flip from Republican to Democratic control, as Republican incumbents are having trouble defending their seats because of President Trump and his low approval ratings in those districts and the fact that that strong DFL candidates have raised a lot of money. And then in Minnesota's first and second district, first and eighth district, those are both open seats currently held by Democrats, where Republicans have a real chance to pick those up, because those are both seats overwhelmingly won by President Trump in 2016.
This might be a question for the political junkie, because, you know, he loves the history here and the weird statistics. But I just wonder how uncommon that is, where you'd have four seats in play, flipping parties, and really it ending up being a wash.
Right.
It's unusual.
Well, it's unusual by today's standards, when there are so few congressional districts, I think, only about four dozen or so, that are actually held by a member of Congress whose party didn't win the presidential vote.
Uh-huh.
We're not at an all-time low right now, but we're at a near all-time low, whereas it used to be, you know, there could be 150 seats held by Democrats in Congress whose congressional district supported a Republican. And so there was just much more turnover when the partisan composition of congressional districts didn't so obviously predict which party the representative would be.
Catherine, I can only assume that NPR does such a good job of informing voters that there are no undecideds left. I not one call from an undecided voter. I think I know what to conclude from that. Good to chat. Thanks very much.
Great.
Good
Thanks,
to have
Carrie.
You here.
Bye.
Catherine Pearson is an associate professor of political science at the University of Minnesota, giving us her read on what the NPR Star Tribune poll, political poll, is telling us about individual racism.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Carrie at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.